Welcome to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that changed their lives. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and I'm still adjusting to real life after the tsunami, whirlwind, megastorm that is South by Southwest swept through our fair city. Everyone in the world, it seems, was in Austin over the course of a couple of weeks, and I took the opportunity to talk to some of them for this podcast. I spoke to Butch Vig, and you can actually hear that interview. It's up right now. He was here for the debut of the movie about the studio he ran in Madison, Wisconsin, called Smart Studios, aka Where Siamese Dream and Nevermind were recorded, and all the garbage records were recorded. I spoke to Bob Boylan from NPR's All Songs Considered. He has this book coming out April 12th called Your Song Changed My Life that's like this podcast, but in written form. I spoke to Hrishikesh Hirway, the creator of the Song Exploder podcast, who is also a musician. And then I got to see him do a live interview with churches, which was like totally inspiring. I spoke to Dion. I spoke to John Doe. I spoke to Baja Boulet and Jane Weaver and Bournes. And you'll get to hear all of those interviews in the coming weeks and months. But to tell the truth, I'm a little musicked out. I mean, not totally. This is a music podcast after all, but this episode is going to start with an artist who is not a musician. He's a comedian, and his name is Eugene Merman. His latest release is a 9-volume, 7-LP comedy album called I'm Sorry, You're Welcome, which is available digitally, on vinyl, on chair, and on/in a robe, because if you can release a gigantic record like as a robe, you definitely should. Eugene Merman is not a stranger to the music world. He's open for tons of bands. And in fact, he's doing shows with Robin Hitchcock in April. And he has music on his new release and he has music in his show now. So I sat with him backstage at Fun 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 Fest. And I'm not going to lie, I wasn't exactly sure how to draw a connection between music and comedy, or even if there was some kind of intersection of influence, but we got there. So here he is, Eugene Merman.
Well, there's a lot of musicians that I like that have a sort of probably wryness, humor, but also warmth and clarity, you know, that, you know, from Lou Reed to Robin Hitchcock to Jonathan Richman.
Well, take me way up north to meet your mom and dad, so they'll see that Jonathan ain't quite so bad. I want to be back in your life. I want to be back in your life. Baby.
All have stuff that, you know, I really enjoy. I grew up loving Jethro Tull also.
And, oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, speaking sort of, what's it called? A prog rock truth to power.
Jump up, look around, find yourself some fun. Don't stand and sit in there hating everyone. Long Island and it's capitalism home.
He has a song that I only recently, or like meaning a few years ago, found that was like an old song from the 70s called The Day John Kennedy Died. Uh-huh. And it's kind of really funny and like clear. And it was clearly like his experience about what happened the day John Kennedy died. And it was just like, you know, he was at a bar and then he like went outside and there was like confusion. And but it's like the song's really funny and warm. Or not warm, but like it has, like accurate.
I remember where I was that day. I was upstate in a bar. The team from the university was playing football on TV. Then the screen went dead and the announcer said there's been a tragedy. There are unconfirmed reports the president's been shot and he may be dead or dying.
There's also Rick Nelson. There's so on the
like Rick,
Ricky,
Ricky
Nelson,
Ricky
and
Nelson?
Also all his he has a lot of country stuff that I really like.
Did he go by Rick? Ever?
I think maybe he did in the 70s when he did more of the country stuff.
Okay.
When he was like, I'm a grown up now and I sing about country. And I really like his stuff. And actually, there's like a musical thing on my latest record that's like this erotic soundscape. And at the end, there's a sort of 70s guitar solo that's inspired partially by the guitar in a song of Rick Nelson's called Let Me Bring You Along, I think is the name of the song. Mm-hmm. It's off of Whatever Has Garden Party. And it's great, and it's this song that's sort of, it's like loud and quiet. It's like the before the Pixies, but very not discordant.
So
Rick Nelson was the original Pixies, if you listen to only that song. And I'm sort of not right, but more right than you'd think.
Is she real or just an image? Did she leave satisfied? You lead is uncertain. How long has it been since you heard hello or goodbye? Streets are
so a lot of music that you were talking about sounded like there was like wry emotional honesty and warmth.
Yes.
So is that kind of what you want to do in your comedy?
Probably. It's probably sort of sincere but absurd and silly, but yeah, but
yeah.
Like not yeah, there's a, I mean, it's hard to say like what is authenticity or something, but meaning like something that feels true, whether it almost is or isn't, but like you convey the idea that you're trying to convey, like I don't know, like, that like everybody's song, like Lou Reed doesn't sing about only his or Jonathan Richman, like you can imagine a thing, but the thing you're imagining you're doing quite well. If that makes sense.
And I mean, there's a difference. I guess in comedy it's the same way, where there's like lyrics, but lyrics can convey emotion, but they don't necessarily convey the emotion. Like a lot of times there's...
Don't tell Tolstoy that. He'll be furious. No.
So are there any performers that influence you too? Because I think that is the thing about comedy, that as a musician, like I don't fully understand how you do it. Because, like, if you're a musician and you're up there and you're playing and it's not happening, you'll be like, meh.
Well,
whatever.
You don't, yeah. Comedy's the only thing where, like, you're trying to get a specific feedback at a specific time. And if people don't laugh, you're quite aware that you're not doing well. And then if it turns where they're, like, actively angry, then it's terrible. With music, like, you can feel a lack of energy or enjoyment, but no one, unless they all, like, you're not getting that, like, you're. It's with comedy you need laughter, and with music you just need people to seem like they're enjoying it.
Or with music you can even revert to, like, if you're playing like a private party and no one's listening, it's like, I'm going to revert to the joy of playing music.
Right.
Which is like, I kind of wondered.
That sounds more heartbreaking than failure to me. I feel like if I was at a private party doing a thing and no one liked it, I would be like, this is just regular terrible. Not like, I'm going to inside.
Like, you
be like, I love strumming. Ooh, no, that sounds,
you
it
never
sounds
go,
fine.
Like, I just really love telling jokes. I don't care if anyone laughs.
There's things I think are funny that I sometimes can't convey, but I think comedy is largely about conveying whatever you think is funny to an audience. So there's, not to say that there aren't situations where you bomb and that it doesn't work and that it's hard and that sometimes, you know, there's a conflict, but I think a lot of comedy is you want specifically to convey your point of view and your ideas to an audience, so it's very important to connect, aside from wanting laughter and to not seem like a failure. So I think, so in that sense, so it's not that I don't, like, enjoy performing comedy, but I don't think I'd say that, like, I would love to go on if people don't laugh or laugh. Like, either way, fine by me. I just got to talk for 40 minutes. That would not be the great way. That would be a bad way to do stand-up comedy.
Because I feel like musicians can do that. They're like, look, if you like it, it's cool. If you don't, I love playing.
Yeah,
so, like,
there's no amount that I could be like, I'm going to turn it up. I'm going to make this comedy so loud that it doesn't matter to me what happens.
Yeah. So are there any, like, musical performers who, when you see them, like, do their thing, you're like, That I would like to do to an audience.
I mean,
through comedy.
Oh.
Does it translate?
Well, I mean, in general, but I get. Well, it depends. Like, if you're, you know, I bet there's some people who can take. You know, I went to see like Madonna recently, in New York.
Madonna?
Yeah, with like Amy Schumer opened and Madonna. Close the show.
Yeah, we'll be drinking and nobody's gonna stop us. And we'll be kissing anybody that's around us. I just wanna have fun tonight. Fuck the shit to the Rihanna, the flashing light. Let me blow up this house tonight.
And she was incredible, and it was like there was all this dancing and fanfare and all this stuff, but like I'm not like, you know what my stand-up show needs? It needs what, like $800,000 of production and like 17 dancers and costume changes and like moving, you know, like it was transfixing, but it was like, but it was very much not what regular like sort of stand-up is.
Yeah, even
like unconventional stand-up. So, but it was transfixing, like in terms of like a seeing a performer, but I'm not like, I'm not saying, you know, I'd really like to bring some of what Madonna does. For 30 years.
Bitch, I'm Madonna.
What made you want to put music stuff on your new record?
I just wanted to make a record that I guess was like, that like it would have stand-up where like you can enjoy it like a normal thing, and then I would have all this other stuff. And one of the, you know, I wanted all these different audio experiences, so one of the things is music. And so I have a meditation, and I wanted to have music that was soothing. I have this erotic soundscape, and I wanted to make this sort of weird, funny, like faux erotic record. And then I got to also, you know, get to go like, oh, I want this kind of sound in it or this or that. Like I got to collaborate, even though I can't personally play music, I got to really create a sound that I really wanted.
Did you go into the studio?
Oh yeah,
and say,
we
like,
all
okay,
recorded.
Well, here's
what
I...
Or like we would record together and then I'd go like, here's a snippet of this. Or like, you know, when I was talking about Rick Nelson, I was like, here, let me play you on my phone the guitar solo I think should be, not exactly, but like vaguely what the tone of the guitar would sound like.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. So yeah, I got to, without being able to play music, sort of make music with friends and also collaborate with friends, because one of the things that's great about music is that you really get to work with people. And so that was a real joy, because I normally do everything sort of alone or tour with friends, but basically perform alone. So getting to do that was amazing. And we're now taking some of the musical elements and doing it on the road. So
you're not, you don't have 800 dancers, but you do have,
I have added two musicians. Oh yeah,
so
it's funny. So
it's
so
a
in that
slippery
sense,
scale.
But I, that's like me taking you know, also that I could have borrowed that from any, from like Guns N' Roses. They have a few musicians.
That's true.
So
that's
does true. Jonathan Richman has at least one guy. Yeah.
It could get increasingly epic.
Yeah, like, it's true. It's true that I added two people to do music, and then I've had friends sort of come on and do some of the musical stuff with me. So it's good. Yeah.
Does that scratch that itch of like no, solo artist, no more, I'm more in a band kind of thing?
No. Oh, it's more like a fun and usual bit. I don't know that
I'm like, oh, you started a band.
In my, yes, I. That's what I tell people, and by people I mean me and my two friends that I'm doing this with.
Welcome to Romance. Population, you guys. Have a drink. Unwind. Things are about to get pleasy.
And below me, you can hear the beginning of the erotic soundscape that Eugene Merman talked about from I'm Sorry, You're Welcome. It has a different name, but just in case there are kids listening, I am not going to say that name. But still, dig on it. And you know, I thought I knew kind of maybe what it was like to be a comedian because I listened to a bunch of early WTF podcasts. But of course, comedy is not my thing. I really only barely understand it, though I did think that Eugene Merman's line about comedy being all about conveying what you think is funny to an audience. Like, it seems so simple, and yet I never quite thought of it that way. Like I said, Eugene Merman will be on the road with Robin Hitchcock in April. I'll post a link to his website so you can get tickets if you want. And he's doing Star Talk Live with Neil deGrasse Tyson in May, which makes me, like, super jealous in the best possible way. I'm going to take a moment to ask that if you like the story you just heard, then please take a minute. Head to iTunes and subscribe to this podcast. That way you can get next week's episode with James Petrolli of White Denim and Bayonne delivered right to you. And while you're there, please leave a rating or a review. We at Team This Song work hard to get this podcast out to you every Tuesday. And your rating and reviews let us know that our work is not in vain. It lets us know that people are listening to and digging on this podcast. Plus, it helps us in iTunes ratings. Next up, Elliot Fraser and Daniel Coborn from Ringo Death Star. They're an Austin band who is right now, this is late March, traveling all around Europe playing music that can be all raw edges one moment and dreamy, shoegazy rock the next. They were also at Fun 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 Fest, and they sat down with Jack Anderson backstage to talk about some songs from their youth that really set the tone for what they do now. So here they are, Daniel and Elliot from Ringo Death Star.
Hanging out here backstage at Fun 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 Fest with Daniel, who plays drums in Ringo Death Star. So, Daniel, what was the song or album that really led to you discovering your musical sound?
Well, I don't think it really led to me discovering my musical sound, but something that, or the song, I guess, that I remember that got me, like, really interested in rock music and stuff was Bulls on Parade by Rage Against the Machine. I heard it first when I was in seventh grade. There was this kid in my class named Cecil, and he would always sing the chorus of the song, and I had no idea what it was all about.
Running around the family with a pocket full of shells. Running around the family with a pocket full of shells.
And so him and one of his friends, like, educated me on, like, the hard rock situation that was going on. And, you know, I became, like, a rabid Rage Against the Machine fan. And I mean, that album in particular, Evil Empire, is still, you know, super awesome and one of my favorite rock albums ever.
So what was it about that song in particular? Was it, you know, the bam, 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 or just the crash of the cymbals?
All of it, I guess, yeah. I mean, I really liked the intensity of like, that band. You know, they weren't... I mean, nowadays I'm not so into, like, political music and stuff like that. I don't think that's necessarily that cool. But you know, for a kid, that was just awesome to see, you know. Like, Zach De La Rocha and all the live videos, like, you know, just going insane and, like, being so into it and really emotional and stuff.
Weapons, not food, not home, not shoes, not need. Just be the war cannibal animal.
I mean, I played drums, you know, at the time, and that was just, you know, like, my, you know, I started playing drums because my dad played drums in, like, a church, like, country music church, basically. So, you know, seeing, like, hard rock drummers, you know, and just stuff like that really, really got me thinking, like, man, that's pretty awesome. That's kind of what I like to do, so...
So when you first heard Bulls on Parade by Rage Against the Machine, were you already playing music at that time?
I probably just started playing drums. Like, I mean, that was around the age I started playing drums.
So nowadays, when you're doing the Ringo Death Star stuff, do you ever go back to that track? Do you ever listen to Bulls on Parade?
Man. Me and Elliot are big Rage Against the Machine fans. We definitely, in the van, we'll put it on for sure. I mean, it was just like the first, you know, like the top of the hill where the rock starts rolling down, you know. I, you know, from that point, you know, wanted to play a lot more music, and then eventually moved to Texas and got involved in, like, the local music scene in Beaumont, Texas. That's where I met Elliot. And you know, here I am, like, 8 years later. So
awesome. Yeah. Thanks so much for stopping by.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
I think about it all the time.
I'm sitting here with Elliot, the vocalist and guitar player from Ringo Death Star. So, Elliot, what was the song that maybe transformed you and made you consider, hey, maybe I should get into playing music?
Well, I don't really know why I started music, but the first time that I wrote a song was because I heard Nirvana cover a Wipers song called Return of the Rat when I was like 13 or something. You know, we were buying all the Nirvana imports, and you know, I didn't know who the Wipers were or anything. I just, this song, Return of the Rat, you know, I was 13-year-old boy. I thought it was kind of funny singing about rats. I mean, I didn't understand the lyrics. Eternal rat, eternal rat, eternal rat, no, 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 no. Eternal rat, eternal rat, eternal rat, no, 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 no. So I wrote a song called Blob. And it, you know, it was like about a blob that would eat everybody at the mall, and you know, the chorus was like, "Watch out for the blob." So, you know, and that was like the first time I had wrote a song, and I wrote the guitar part, and you know, all I could play was power chords, but it was cool. You know, I was the drummer of the band at the time, though, so I wrote all like the drum part, the guitar part, and the vocals.
So you were kind of almost capturing that same B-movie horror lyricism and like kind of tone.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, because
like Blob, Return of the Rat.
Yeah, because that just showed me that you could sing about any stupid old thing.
Like, make it sound cool.
Yeah. Better confess. Well, I better confess. Started this mess and no, I've seen him do it. Better confess. It was really simple and it made me feel like I could do it, you know? I grew up in Beaumont, Texas, and I mean, you didn't have, like, any music scene, or you know, the only music you could hear was the top 40 like rock radio, so you know, that was a simple song, and it was my favorite band, Nirvana, and it, for some reason it just seemed to kick open a door that, I mean, even like Nevermind didn't, I mean, Nevermind like made me feel like I could be a drummer, but that song made me feel like I could write songs, you know? Like, it just was like, okay, you could do anything you want.
So when you listen to that cover of Return of the Rat, does it still make you feel the same way?
I mean, yeah, it just brings back those memories, you know? And, you know, it was years until I heard the original version.
Does it still kind of give you that youthful energy a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, like years later, Nirvana, you know, they had the that box set, you know? And it was like, I already had, when I saw that, it brought back all those memories, because, like, we would go to CD Warehouse and buy all the imports, and, you know, that was all the unreleased stuff, you know, we already had all that, so, you know, every time I hear that stuff, it definitely brings back the feeling of, you know, we don't really know what we're doing, but we're gonna do it anyway.
So what was it about that song that really kind of, now that you're looking back, being in Ringo Death Star, what would you say would lead you to this point now from that song?
You know, there's like some weird noises in the recording. They're the feedback on the guitar solo. It just seemed like, okay, what are they doing? You know, this doesn't sound like what I hear on the radio. This just sounds like really, because you know, when you're starting out music, you don't know how to work an amp and stuff, and you're making like feedback, and your parents are like, "What are you doing?" Like, but here it is in a recording, so like, okay, that means we can mess with that. You can
bring it into the studio and mess around with it, and people will listen to it.
Yeah, you just make noise, like get some like distortion pedals and just. You want your parents to like not like the music, I guess.
Exactly. You know? That's, you've achieved your goal when your parents say, cut it out. Yeah. You're really disturbing us now.
Yeah, and, you know, also that was another driving force. Like, you know, my mom, like, I can't understand what he's saying. Like, you know.
Stare at the Sun from Pure Mood, and it is freeing to hear music that makes you realize you can do whatever you want with music. You can make music that's full of distortion and noise or not. It can be everything that everyone around you doesn't want to hear, but when you make it, you get to decide what it is. That's it. We've come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KTX 98.9. This episode was produced and edited by Jack Anderson, David Sanger, and me, Elizabeth McQueen. Jake Perlman recorded those interviews backstage at Fun 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 Fest. Antoinette Misondo is our social media guru and teacher of the ways of Snapchat. Thanks to Peter Babb and Deidre Gott for all their help with the podcast. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own excellent hard-proof Afrobeat. You can email us at thissong@kutx.org or follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchat. You can like us on Facebook, and we'd love it if you would subscribe to This Song, along with the other KUTX podcasts, Liner Notes, Song of the Day, and Austin Music Minute on iTunes. And like I said, we would love a rating or a review. Right on. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next time.